Hey, you want that to go?
Definitely to go. We begin with takeouts from Washington and takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, John.
So very quickly, it seems as though the GOP is willing to tolerate this being cast as friends of bankers as we continue this filibuster on financial reform. The GOP is going to tolerate that for a couple more days, right?
FOBs, friends of bankers. Well, for the moment, the GOP leadership is still talking tough, as you do in these situations. They don't say that they're friends of bankers. They say Harry Reid is trying to cut off meaningful negotiations that he's promised us before we get to the floor. How much longer the rank and file is willing to tolerate it is what we're going to see today. There's yet another procedural vote, and if it fails tomorrow, and like we've said before, the rank and file have said. A couple of them said yesterday after this vote they're starting to lose faith in negotiations between Shelby and Dodd. So you may see this filibuster broken, I think, within a day or two here.
All right. Financial reform holding pattern, at least for the time being. And, of course, the huge headlines we've been reporting all morning. Goldman Sachs facing the Permanent Investigations Committee of Carl Levin. But I'm interested in this. Senator Chuck Schumer, the senior senator from New York, had this to say yesterday.
Facebook's recent changes to its privacy policy run a serious risk of taking control of one's personal information away from the user. And the whole tenet of Facebook has been that you control your information.
As Chuck Schumer talking about Facebook, we were talking on this program this morning, you know, about privacy rights possibly being taken up by the Supreme Court trying to catch up with technology. Is there an initiative to take control of Facebook?
No, just a letter from Chuck Schumer to the Federal Trade Commission asking them to look at this in a public way. You know, Chuck Schumer has a habit, usually every Sunday, of sort of coming out with the populist issue du jour. He's the guy who yelled at the airlines for threatening to charge for carry-on baggage, for instance. So,
yeah, 30 seconds after they announced that, too.
Exactly.
Schumer's got that timing thing.
And his issue this week is Facebook, but he has sort of a point here. You know, the other day I was on WashingtonPost.com reading the news as I do every day, and I saw all of a sudden a little box with all of my Facebook friends on the Washington Post's website with some of my information on there. And I said, wait, what is this? And I went back to Facebook and I had to go through the privacy settings and mess with them to finally get it so that they weren't on there. What Schumer wants the FTC to do is to look at social networking sites, Twitter, Facebook, things like that, and clearly iterate their privacy policies to the public. And also, if they're going to share those with third parties, like the Washington Post, for instance, to have it be an opt-in. They can't just share it and then you got to figure out how to stop it. They can only share it if you opt into it. That's what he wants them to do.
See.
There's no laws being passed right now. This is just a little bit of public pressure from the populist Chuck Schumer on Facebook right now.
Interesting issue. It seems like the recession, though, has caused a lot of anxiety about a cost of living increase for members of Congress. How did that go?
Oh, well, actually, the House voted last night to forego their cost of living increase for another year for 2011. No pay raise. So, John, I've asked you this before. Do you remember how much members of Congress make their base salary?
It's 100-something thousand.
Yeah. 174 okay. grand is for rank and file. So what they've done here is they've said cost of living adjustment would have been $1,600 raise
okay.
for everybody in Congress.
So the savings to the deficit?
Well, I'm asking you, math major, how much did they save? How much did they save the taxpayer here?
Too early in the morning for me. Can you do it for me, Todd, please? Just this once.
850 grand. That's how much we saved.
Only 1.5 trillion to go. That's right. Todd Zwillick, thanks so much.
Let's go now to sports with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, and let's talk about hockey today. You know, and I'm torn on this. The Phoenix Coyotes were knocked out of the hockey playoffs last night by the Detroit Red Wings. I lived in Arizona for 10 years. Nothing but love for the Phoenix Coyotes, but of course Detroit is my town, so, you know, joy and sadness here. What happened in this game?
Well, basically, the Detroit Stars, the big guys, they came out and they proved that they were the big guys. They came out and they won the game, and they smashed them 6-1. That kind of score is, you know, in the second period, they had 22 shots on goal, and they scored 4 goals.
Wow.
That's a barrage.
That's amazing
exactly.
for hockey. Pavel Datsyuk and Nicklas Lidström, old guys.
Well, and exactly. Lindstrom is 40 years old. He's still the best defenseman in the NHL. And, you know, this is what happens when you get guys that have been through it. This could be if they make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, it'll be their third trip in a row when they make it.
Wow.
And this is what happens when you get a core group of guys, like you were saying earlier when we were talking about this, when you get a core group that have stuck with the team, they stuck with the franchise, and they know how to play well together. And when it comes down to really critical moments like this, then they can deliver. Now, this was in front of the thousands of cheering fans. The Phoenix fans were wearing all white, and they're wearing white towels. And essentially, when they scored that first goal, they just whoom, just tired, and it quieted the entire Phoenix crowd.
Oh, that's good. Okay,
so the Red Wings are a huge legacy.
They are. I mean, but these guys have been playing together forever and ever and ever. Okay, well, so tonight we're going to see the Canadiens and the Washington Capitals going up. What I assume we're expecting the Capitals to win.
Well, okay, so this is a game where there's a lot of pressure on both sides. The Canadiens are the Yankees of hockey, right? So
right.
Everyone expects them to win, even though they were the eighth seed coming in.
I was gonna say the Capitals.
In terms of their fans and Canada
right.
expects them to win, because even though they were coming in as the eighth seed, they made it in. They won the first one. They dropped a couple, but then they won. They tied it up. So they're on a roll. The Capitals now, they should win. They had the best record in the year, in the season this year, but they also have Ovechkin, who has something to prove. So this game right now is essentially, can Ovechkin take off this label that he can't perform when it matters most?
Choke alert.
Is he going to be the choker, or is he going to be known as Mr. Irrelevant, or is he going to...
He hates when people keep asking him that.
Well, this is the moment. It's a game seven. Crosby and Pittsburgh has already... gone through, and they're already in the next round of the playoffs. Can Ovechkin take his team, put them on his back, and bring them into the second round?
Are you going to call it for us, Ibrahim?
Well, I think the Capitals are going to do it. I think Ovechkin is going to put them on his back and make it happen.
Okay, we'll have to see. And also, the Detroit Red Wings go up against the San Jose Sharks. San Jose Sharks are top seeded here.
I think you're rooting for Detroit, though.
Of course. What, you're not going to call that one for me?
No, I'm going to go.
I'm rooting for the Canadiens. That'll get me back in the blogosphere again. I'm an anti-American, haven't you heard?
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor.